Hello and welcome to this exploring session, looking at another goodly dialogue. We're doing more of these. Once again, we're in a live physical location with coffee. I like coffee. Coffee makes this better. with Liza Graham and myself, Robert Crichton, we are reading a goodly dialogue between knowledge and simplicity, of which I should know off the top of my head when it's dated, but I cannot. Hopefully future Robert will now insert a bit here telling us when this is dated. Future Robert here. So knowledge and simplicity, a goodly dialogue between knowledge and simplicity, was printed around 1548. So somewhere within the previous year or so, 1547-48. So that's printed during the reign of Edward VI, during whose reign we see a flurry of printing of texts of an evangelical Protestant bent, much like the satires of Luke Shepherd looked at in John Bonn. So, yes, but that's it from me, future Robert. It's an interesting text. It's a dialogue. We don't know how dramatic or performable it is. It also comes with a gloss. So between most lines of dialogue, we have the text is given as this interesting little bit of additional stuffage, which we will do. I think what we'll do is the person who has just, who hasn't been speaking before, reads the gloss and then reads their own line of dialogue afterwards. I think that's less confusing than doing it the other way around.
Let's try that.
Let's try that. We'll see. So anyway, Liza Graham is with me once again. Introduce yourself to the folks at home.
Liza Graham, actor, singer, and text person and general geek for this stuff in London.
Mm. And to be heard on many of our dialogue sessions, I'm sure.
For your sins.
Yeah. And yes, these are often theological in matter, and just to say, we have no irons in the fire for this. We're not here to propagandize or proselytize any particular point of view. I don't know whether this is particularly religious per se. It's between knowledge and simplicity. I don't know. So I will be knowledge today, I think. You're going to be simplicity.
Typecast again.
Yeah. Well, you've been playing the more knowledgeable people so far.
I know, it was such an effort.
Yeah, I was rustic last time, but with wisdom of the ages.
Yes.
But I'm not this time. I'm knowledge this
You're
time.
Knowledgeable this time.
So tell it, if you read the opening bump before I go into knowledge, please.
A goodly dialogue between knowledge and simplicity, imprinted at London by Anthony Scholacher and William Sears, dwelling without Aldersgate, cum gratia et privilegio ad imprimendum solum, that is, they are the only people authorized to print this.
God save you, my friend Simplicity. I am glad of your good welfare. Ye are right welcome unto the city, for here ye are a stranger very rare. I know the cause of your hither repair. It draweth now toward the term. Ye have some matters for to declare, and what they be, fain would I learn.
Simplicity is a stranger in a city. I thank you, knowledge, of your good will and of your kindness without desert. But I came hither for no such skill as ye have uttered upon your part. But this I thought with all mine heart. When I came hither unto the term, would God I had suffered at home great smart, your fashions be so strange to learn.
Simplicity is sorry that ever he came in that city, it is so full of naughtiness. I pray you, sir, what is your grief? Hath any man here you offended? Show it shortly in words brief, and if I can, I will see it amended. Your cause by me shall be defended. I will be with you all this term. My counsel towards you shall be bended, your simpleness to teach and learn.
Knowledge desireth to know his grief, and promiseth to help him. Marry, sir, offended I am indeed, and that in conscience right grievously. If I pray God it shortly be remedied, that London sink not much, much marvel I, for here is naught else but heresy, blasphemy, and slander all out of frame. That one man affirmeth, another doth deny, against the honour of God's holy name.
Simplicity thinketh that London will sink for sin.
Ah, sir, I know the cause right well enough, then, of your great grief in your conscience, and I am right glad, for above all men I have much desired to have your presence. Content you, and shortly ye shall have intelligence, though as yet, for a time, something be out of frame, at length amongst us shall be no difference concerning the honour of God's holy name.
Friend Knowledge, that is a thing impossible that ever in one we should agree, so long as we have this bibble. Nay, nay, Knowledge, that will not be. Do ye not hear and daily see how men old custom despise and blame, which thing is greatly, as thinketh me, against the honour of God's holy name?
The Bible is cause of controversy. Old custom is blame. Though old custom hath us long led against God's gospel manifestly, it is not meet that it should be forbid, and also despised utterly. If truth and old custom disagree, shall not truth old custom despise and blame, and make him subject to God's verity? Yes, that is the honour of God's holy name.
If old custom be against the gospel, it must give place. Will ye, O Knowledge, be of that mind? Will ye be of that sort and guise? Will ye begin new ways to find and old custom clean to despise? How say ye? Were not our fathers wise? Were they not learned? Ye be to blame. Let their example your mind suffice concerning the honour of God's holy name.
The custom of our forefathers is to be observed. Unto our fathers God be merciful. They lived in darkness, and we in light. All they were under a cloud, most wonderful. Of the truth they had no perfect sight. But I say, through God's power and might, that cloud is cleared and set in right frame. And all feigned fantasies, it shall be put to flight, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
Our fathers, as Paul teacheth, were under a cloud, and saw not the truth. Will ye give me leave to ask you a question, and with my boldness not to be angry? I would be sorry in any condition for to offend you, you may believe me. And I desire you even heartily, show unto me your opinion again, for we too, I think, shall not agree concerning the honour of God's holy name.
The civility of simplicity. Ask what ye will, and by God's grace, as well as my wit shall serve me, I shall make answer in little space, as I have learned in God's verity. Be not afraid, but speak at liberty. Whatsoever ye say, none shall ye blame, for surely I trust your mind to satisfy concerning the honour of God's holy name.
The gentle answer of Knowledge. How say you, I pray thee, to the holy mass, that long hath been used of antiquity, and for many other things I let pass, as mass of requiem and scala caeli, that delivered our friends' souls from purgatory, with many more masses than I can name, of the five wounds and of Corpus Christi, to the honour and praise of God's holy name?
The first question is of masses. Such masses, I say, are but idolatry, which the Romanist Antichrist did invent to blind our eyes with feigned hypocrisy, and all to get money was his intent. What greater blasphemy was ever meant if masses shall save us? Christ's death is in vain that suffered for us his flesh to be torment. Honour, therefore, no mass, but God's holy name.
That all masses satisfactory are idolatry of the Bishop of Rome's inventing. How say ye then unto the sacrament, which all ye go about to deny, in the host to be bodily present, first as he was born of Mary, and upon the cross as he did die? If ye speak against this, ye are to blame. This our fathers believed, and so do I, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
Whether Christ's body be really present in the sacrament. The sacrament is a holy thing, but the use thereof was far out of frame, and that self-body on the cross hanging, and born of Mary, that blessed dame, in his corporal presence, I say plain, is not there present. Surely I think the same who teacheth contrary, his doctrine is vain, and great dishonour to God's holy name.
That Christ is not bodily present in the sacrament.
And there we'll pause. So, yes, this afternoon, this morning, we are reading a couple of things back to back, and yes, they are thematically very similar. So we've just done John Bomb,
yeah,
which was more dynamic and drama-y. It had a sense of place and a sense of action-ish to it, whereas this is much more formal. The verse structure is very, very regimented, but it is debating the same point. It is. I like the way that knowledge is going. No, this is a safe space, man. We can discuss whatever you like. I'm just thinking in real life. No. I'm sorry. Whenever this was written during the Tudor period, this kind of discussion is not a sensible, healthy thing to do.
Well, but this dialogue, I think, is meant to instruct.
Mm.
So, if people think what simplicity thinks, then they should. The ideal is not that they should simply be burnt or imprisoned. It's that they should be instructed by someone more knowledgeable, and they should change their beliefs. That's a lot less trouble to the state than imprisoning people.
Mm.
So, as an instructive thing,
it's good. But in real life, people would be much more circumspect about actually doing this kind of
thing. Well, I am intrigued by this because the other two dialogues we've read, Lucidus and Dubius and John Bond, the relationship is more or less adversarial. Adversarial from the start in Lucidus and Dubius, and increasingly adversarial in John Bond.
Mm.
But in this one, even though there are two people arguing over doctrine, the relationship seems much more collegial, even at times affectionate.
Mm. Yes, it's not that simplicity is simple, it is simplicity is less educated, I think, and wants to learn. That seems to be what's going on here.
Yes, but simplicity has just made a statement of belief.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, our fathers believed this, and so do I.
Yes, and they're making that question about precedent. You know, if previous generations have all lived this way, are they not, you know, damned and etc.? And we're going, well, they didn't know. We have examples of why that's there. And we're going into the question of masses. We're going into the question of, you know, is Christ literally present in the body of the communion wafer? And knowledge is saying no, that's absolutely not, which is the same point that John Bond made, but perhaps, shall we say, a little more wittily.
Yes.
Whereas this is much more straightforward Q&A, isn't it?
Yes, and it's not just about the sacrament, it's about all of the old rituals that are now changing.
Yes, and we're going to be getting to those as we go forward. I do like the glosses.
I like them too.
I don't know if actually in terms of if we record this as a thing that we'd keep them actually. They have a quality of, because they're partly, it's also the placement of the glosses, because the glosses would live to one side of the text.
They would,
so
in the
they
margin.
They don't live before or after, they live in the middle of each of the speeches. So it's like, it's explaining what is being said at that time. So we're saying afterwards, but it's like the civility of simplicity, we say after. We've got it in our script after Simplicity has said his civil answer.
Yes, I don't know where the glosses should. Mm. If we did use the glosses, should they go before the verse they're glossing or after the verse they're glossing?
Yeah, it's a bit like actually what I do with spoilers episodes, where I explain the bit that's about to be read, and sort of just basically say, well, this is what's happening here. So it's sort of already doing that. So, you know, if we went to the extent of doing a spoilers episode for this, that's the kind of job I would do. It reminds me of picture books when I was a child, with a story on tape that came with it, and when you hear the magic wand, turn the page. So it's a bit like that in my mind. Anyway, shall we move on? Any other thoughts?
None thus far.
Mm.
I forget if we had read the gloss at the bottom of...
We have. I've read the first stanza at the top of page 4. We have established that Christ is not bodily present in the sacrament.
Ah, Jesus, mercy, what do I hear? Is not he present in the sacrament? How say you? Is not God present allwhere? Will you deny the New Testament? And if he be allwhere, I say verament, he is in the sacrament. I abide by the same. Your devilish doctrine the devil did invent to the great dishonor of God's holy name.
God is present allwhere, and therefore his body is in the sacrament. Yes, sir, God is present in very deed, as well allwhere as in the sacrament, but that understand in his Godhead, and for example learn this precedent, the soul and the body be things different. But the body destroyed, the soul doth yet remain. And ye see not the soul, neither yet in the sacrament. Ye see God's body, but blaspheme his name.
That God is present allwhere and is not seen, as the soul of man is invisible and incorruptible. Marry, sir, that is abominable heresy. Is this your new learning and doctrine? What thing can be said that is more blasphemy? Ye shall never persuade me, brother mine. Doth not the priest from time to time lift up God's body and show us the same, in form of bread? Yea, we see it with our eyen, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
That the priests lift up God's body in the sacrament. Ye are deceived, poor simplicity, for Christ being offered once for all shall never be offered again, believe me. Our masses, therefore, are most idolatry of all, having no ground in Scripture at all. If ye say ye see Christ lift up in the same, you commit most shameful idolatry withal to the great dishonour of God's holy name.
Christ, offered once, cannot be offered again. Mass is idolatry and hath no ground in Scripture. Our curates command us in pain of damnation to believe that Christ's blessed blood and body in the sacrament is present, of the same fashion as he suffered, died, and was born of Mary. And whosoever doth say the contrary to the bishops, they do accuse the same as one committing most shameful heresy to the great dishonor of God's holy name.
Curates command to believe that God's body is present in the sacrament. Your
careless?
Careless, possibly, yeah. It's either... It could be Carl's. Your careless curates whom custom hath blinded do not well in that thing, know what ye say. But look in the gospel, and ye shall find it. The selfsame Jesus, born of a May, that was crucified, died, and rose the third day, on his Father's right hand now sitteth plain. His body is only there present, I say. Who saith contrary, doth blaspheme his name.
Curates are blind. Christ is on the right hand of the Father. How say ye to our fasting days? Are they not most shamefully abused? What think you of our holy days, which are not meet to be refused? Both palms and ashes are clean confused, and offering of candles o'ergone with them. Are these not all still to be used to the honour and praise of God's holy name?
A question of ceremonies. I say no day more than more one than other. By God's word is commanded to fast, and keep well your Sabbath day, my brother. All other holy days are in waste. Your palms and ashes clean outcast. If ye offer to stock and stone, ye are to blame. They're all but feigned like the wind's blast against the honour of God's holy name.
Say ye that fasting and holidays made by man are of none effect, and all such like ceremonies. Say ye that feigned is the holy crucifix, and despise ye the holy priest's absolution. Is God's body a feigned God in the pyx? Did not our beads stir us to devotion? Do not the saints make intercession? Doth not our fasting our flesh tame? Our holy bread and holy water give us monition to honour and praise God's holy name.
A question of the rude priest's absolution of the God in the box and such other. of the crucifix, an idol ye made, and your priests usurped God's absolution. The bread in the box is no god, I say, and that your beads are very superstition. Your saints can make no intercession. Your feigned fasting cannot your flesh tame. Your water and bread by conjuration are great dishonour to God's holy name.
An answer to the same. And was it not well with us, think ye, when we used our pilgrimage for devotion to holy saints that wrought wonderfully great marvels passing man's expectation? And they helped us in our perturbation. Almost all thing we asked we did obtain. How say ye, was not this a godly fashion to the honour and praise of God's holy name?
If pilgrimage was not good, and the saints wrought miracles, that fashion is devilish and clean contrary to God's commandment, as ye shall see. God said and commanded us very straightly, Thou shalt have none other god but me. If ye worship idols of stone or of tree, ye think they can help you, ye are to blame. For then ye deprive God of his glory to the great dishonour of his holy name.
That pilgrimage was devilish and against God's commandment. Is fasting and prayer of no effect? Did not Christ to us make mention in his gospel by words direct that we should use them for good intention? Yet some men say ye despise the same and amongst yourselves have great dissension to the great dishonour of God's holy name.
If fasting and prayer are of none effect. Yes, fasting and prayer are much requisite, as Christ himself did us to us exemplify. But I say in Scripture it is not recite, yes, to fast or pray any time properly. But watch ye and pray ye continually. When the flesh do prick, then make it tame with fasting. But beware of hypocrisy, for that is to dishonour to God's holy name.
Fasting and prayer are necessary, but no special time is thereto appointed by scriptures.
And there we'll pause, I think. I'm getting more hectory. I'm feeling much more hectory as I'm going along. I don't know if that's just me, the way I'm doing it, or whether that's the text.
I don't know. I mean, there's an argument for hectory, but there's also an argument for more passionate, more concerned. Because what you're trying to do here is not to win an argument, but to save a soul.
Yes, because you're following all these ways that are going to lead you to hell and damnation. I do get the impression that the gloss is, that whoever's doing the gloss is getting a bit bored. an answer to the same. repeat. In many ways, I do feel I'm learning. This is actually very effective, and the glosses are very effective in teaching us, this particular point of view about what came before and what is coming in, and actually the confusions that are living there. I mean, obviously with my modern mind, I'm going with some of knowledge's things of going, well, knowledge, you've just given an example of why that is wrong, but then you give an example of something else going, so I'm going, well, actually, have you examined that belief particularly, Claire? It's an interesting, the moment you start doing this game, actually it starts raising more questions and more things where in the mind, which I think is reasonably healthy, actually. There's some, it'd be interesting actually to read this without doing the glosses and just letting the flow
of the
text
let the
go.
Dialogue go.
Because it does have a back and forth. There is a.
Oh, they answer each other. It genuinely is a dialogue. It's not just two people spouting doctrine.
And there are, we've got lines. It's not too rigid actually, the way that the verse is structured. I stumbled over a line because I hadn't really sort of. It's not end stopped. It goes. It runs on, and I didn't realise. And ye see not the soul, neither yet in the sacrament ye see God's body, but blaspheme his name. It's things are running on and doing interesting things actually to break it up and make it not too samey. It was a bit samey, but that's because of what it's doing. There's nothing one can do. And for the listeners at home, Liza is staring at a cat drinking out of a watering can.
It's very cute. I wish you were all here.
Should really take a photo to prove that this is happening. I'm not going to, because I can't be arsed. But yeah.
Cat.
Aww. Back to the text. So we're 2/3 of the way through. And now it's going to be a lot more knowledge-y. It's a lot more knowledge-y.
Yes.
You're going to be mostly gloss. I'll try to be less hectory in performance. And
well, play it as you feel it.
Mm.
But you know, we'll see when we come to the conclusion. We'll see.
We'll see where we go. Yeah, that's the point of doing an exploration. So did I stop at the top of the page? Where did we stop?
I think we may have stopped at the...
We did fasting and prayer are necessary.
But no special time is thereto appointed by scriptures. I think we had not yet done this stanza.
Yes, so simplicity continues.
I pray God amend all that is amiss. In the world was never so much division. One is of that sort, another is of this, and each one diverse in his opinion. Ye learned men first must agree in one, that after your example ourselves we may frame. Then shall we not swerve in any condition, but praise altogether God's holy name.
I'm just going to pause here because I really like that. It's just, you make your mind up and then tell us what to do.
Yes, that really the debate among scholars is what's killing this. I mean, there was a wonderful, not about... early modern London, but much earlier, there was a line in a chronicle by a traveller to Byzantium saying, you know, if you go to buy bread, you will hear that the father is greater and the son inferior. And if you ask a man the time, you will hear that Jesus is not of the same nature as God the Father. And it seems like, you know, this is a time of great debate and dissension among people in London, that even people who don't have a horse in the race and don't follow doctrine so keenly are being confused because they're being told one thing by one preacher and another thing by another, and you're supposed to look up to all preachers and they're supposed to tell you what to do. So
yeah, I mean, what is the ordinary man in the street to do when nobody else can decide? So look, I'll follow whatever you decide. Just let me worship God. I'll you know, sort out the details later.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really like that stanza. That you know, and also just that people disagree. And articulating one is of that sort, another of this, and each one diverse in his opinion. I mean, that's a lovely sentiment to point out. It's very John Haywood-y, actually. John Haywood's plays are often pitched as a debate, but often they don't come to a conclusion. They're much more about compromise than they are about landing absolutely on one team or another, though that doesn't mean that there isn't satire and there isn't other things. We're definitely being invaded by cats at the moment.
The peasants are restless.
Yeah, there's definitely a something in the air. It's a bit like the birds around here, just with cats. That's where we're at. We are surrounded. Mm. We will not get out of the house alive.
So we had ended with simplicity praying that all abuses may be amended and men may agree in one.
Mm. And I pray God with you in that thing to set at one all our division to as to his glory shall be pertaining, that all may agree in one, and no man stick to one opinion, but as God's word shall teach him the same, then shall we not swerve in any condition, but praise all together in God's holy name.
Sir, indeed, all these are above my reason, and ye be a man well learned, men say. Will ye therefore take pain with me this season, my cumbered conscience to quiet and stay? Ye say we should fast, ye say we should pray, and the supper of the Lord ye praise much the same. Teach me to use the same after the right way, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
Simplicity desireth to be taught the right way to fast, pray, and receive the Lord's supper. Yea, that I will with all my heart. That is the thing that I ever pretended. If diligently you will avert, my diligence towards you is bended. Your simpleness hath not me offended, neither my boldness you, I think the same. And I trust your grief shortly to end it, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
The good will of knowledge towards simplicity.
First, to your question, how ye should pray. In the 6th of Matthew, learn Christ's doctrine. Pray not for praise, as hypocrites do, I say, but in thy chamber see thyself thou decline, by thy chamber thy conscience thou must define. And if that be clean, believe well the same, God will reward thee by his power divine to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
How we should pray.
Right margin trimmed. But in much babbling, esteem no felicity. Like as did the Pharisees most blind, your lady's psalter was mere hypocrisy. By this place of scripture plainly we find. Your beads brought prayer clean out of kind. Christ taught a prayer, let us use the same, devoutly to be said with heart and mind, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
We are not heard for our many prayers, but for the words said from the heart.
Your matins and evensong in a strange tongue, your patched masses full of papistry, your shameful sort of ceremonies done, as kneeling? Because it's kneeling is next.
Mm.
Is it sort of like...
Well, maybe kneeling, something.
Kneeling and other many, do they anything you teach to edify? And to pray and think not is but in vain. The godly prophet herein agreeth with me. All these are dishonour to God's holy name.
Matins and evensong in a strange tongue, and dome ceremonies are but vain.
When thou fastest, saith Christ, be not sorry, as the hypocrites which pretendeth gravity did disfigure their faces superstitiously, that to men's sight they might seem holy. But when thou fastest, do it secretly, not for world's glory, but thy flesh to tame. Then God shall reward thee abundantly to the honour and praise of his holy name.
How we should fast.
But this is not meant by Friday nor Lent, by the fast of Bernard... By the fast of Bernard, or yet of Our Lady, that's feast, isn't it?
Perhaps.
Yeah, by the feast of St. Bernard, yeah. But this is not meant by Friday nor Lent, by the feast of Bernard, or yet of Our Lady, neither yet of the clouted cloister's advent, for scripture appointeth no time properly, neither yet of meats maketh he diversity, but biddeth thee fast, thy flesh for to tame, at all times whensoever thy flesh pricketh thee. Thus fasting, thou honourest God's holy name.
Superstitious fasting is against God's honour.
And now for the holy supper of the Lord. Let Paul be your teacher in each degree. Examine your conscience, let your faith accord before ye presume of so high a mystery. For in this point faith only must be your eye, faith must be your test, and all your wits frame. It is in your faith that ye see God's body to the honour and praise of his holy name.
How we should receive the supper of the Lord.
Think not that ye do eat him with your teeth. Think not that ye see him with your bodily eye, but eat him and drink him in spirit and faith. For he yet living did give his body unto his disciples, and said, Eat ye, this is my body. Yet this his body plain before their eyes was present corporally. Their faith did suffice, their bodily brain.
We do not eat Christ's body, nor drink his blood, but in spirit, by faith.
Ye let faith, therefore, you govern and lead, and in your heart remember his passion, and that he died in very deed, leaving to us for a commemoration his blessed body, of such kind and fashion, that in spirit and faith we should receive the same. Thus doing, you take it to your salvation, to the honour and praise of God's holy name.
That we should before all things believe in his passion.
And simplicity gets a response.
I pray God thank you with all mine heart. In these things my conscience is appeased. And in all other I trust soon afterwards my heart by you shall be well eased. The blindness that in me was seized is almost cleared and set in frame. And you I do thank. Whom it has pleased to teach me to honour God's holy name.
That was the thanks of simplicity for the good counsel of knowledge. Give the Lord to God, as most worthy is, and not unto man, but unto his name. And pray we for the King's Highness, that God's gospel have so in frame, that all we may see the truth from the vain, that all we all errors may worthily blame, that all we his kingdom at the last may attain, in bliss altogether, to praise his holy name.
Not to man, but to God be all glory.
Finis! So, pray we for the gods, Highness. I'm thinking it's probably Edward again. And it does feel at peace with John Bob.
It does. It does. And I do like how that last stanza of knowledges harks back to Simplicity's prayer that we may all be one and all believe the same.
Mm.
Coffee is delicious. It's coffee.
Yes, this is the sound of me pouring copious amounts of coffee.
And we end on unity, and I like that. Mm. I like that. I actually do think it's the fast of St. Bernard, because we're talking about fasting rather than feasting.
Oh, right. Okay, that makes sense. It is the fast. Oh, yes, how we should fast is the previous thing.
Yeah.
And superstitious fasting is against God's order. No, you're absolutely right. And knowledge is... It's not boring.
Mm.
You know, knowledge, they're laying out data, they're laying out points. He's doing it quite... And there is still that collegiate quality to it of, you know, Simplicity is not being hectored at as such. He is asking, teach me. Tell me things.
Yes, and he's been, you know, from Simplicity saying, your devilish doctrine the devil did invent, to being convincible, and then to being convinced, and asking for that teaching relationship to continue all term. I don't know if Simplicity is Inns of Court or if he's junior clergy, but often the Inns of Court certainly abided by the term structure, and perhaps the divinity schools did as well.
Mm. Yes, and again, so like Lucidus and Dubius, you know, there is that sense of, you know, there is a student, there is a master, obviously, and Lucidus and Dubius is the ex-student who's come back to try and outwit the master and punish him for beating him.
Here it seems very much novice and mentor.
Yeah. It's not unconvincing, actually. It makes some good arguments. There are obvious flaws and elements of it, but you know, for what they're trying to do, and it does feel like this is a way of convincing people. You know, this is propaganda. This is a way of convincing people. You know, reasonably educated people, of course, because they've got to be able to read.
Necessarily need to be able to read. They could hear this spoken.
Yes, I mean that's the question. You know, how performable or you know. I don't think it's designed to be performed, but it could be, and it feels very performable, actually.
I mean, when we read through it again, we should omit the glosses and just speak to each other.
Mm. Well, that's the plan, is that we'll do a recording and actually omit the glosses. You know, the exploring session has covered the glosses.
And the glosses are great. I'm glad you got to hear them.
I think it would make quite a nice video, actually, with the glosses coming up while the speakers are talking as a little thing to keep it going. I think I said in the email when I sent you the script, you know, it reminds me of a Rupert Bear annual. So in the Rupert Bear comics, you have, at the top of the page, you have a one-line gloss of what happens on the page. Then you have the four panels with just a couple of couplets explaining what happens on each panel. And then at the bottom of the page, you have the complete text of what is actually being said and done during the four panels on the page. And that's how the annuals publish the Rupert Bear.
Good educational thing. I think people who absorb information in all sorts of different ways would have been able to read those.
Mm. I mean, the awkwardness for us is, of course, you know, we're not proselytizing, we're not here to teach, you know, and there's always that slight uncomfortableness for me of, it feels like we're taking a side, because there isn't much Catholic material of the same ilk that survives. I mean, it just doesn't survive. And it doesn't seem, it's difficult to tell,
there's nothing
actually
from,
there wasn't as much printed either.
There's nothing from Mary's reign.
There isn't much. And it just seems like actually the printing houses and printers of Europe as well are supplying materials into the country.
I mean, there's John Bale, but Bale is very much sui generis.
Well, yeah, no, but Bale is not unaware of these writers. I think he is. He mentions in passing John Bond, which we've looked at previously, And you know, his stuff was printed on the continent and imported. And of course, it does seem that, I think, from an evangelical position of, you know, fighting the man, you know, going against the world as it is, the desire to take risks and publish and distribute literature is more than defending the established thing that is so massive. So I think from a Catholic point of view, you're going, well, that's the normal world. I don't need to defend it in the same way. So I don't know. That might be the reason. I don't know. But that's sort of my feeling, is that, you know, the church can just use the church to establish its point. Whereas these young guns, these evangelical, and it's a better term than Protestant at this point, because they don't call themselves Protestants, really.
Yeah.
That's a much later term. I mean, I'm not sure evangelical is a perfect term, but it gives that impression of, you know, that change the world attitude that is coming with this. And of course, it leads to some quite unpleasant things, but there is an energy to it, and I think that's what. There is some dissension in the room on this point. Would you like to come in on this? does Milo think?
Milo believes that God is present in the cat food.
Ah, yes, of course.
I do like this sense of, you know, young thinkers and young minds reimagining the world and reimagining faith and how faith is expressed. But I think it's very refreshing to see a dialogue where no one is condemning anyone else and no one is pouring scorn on anyone else. Simplicity reacts pretty violently at first against knowledge's doctrine. But they find a way to be at accord, and I think that should be the goal. Not forced conversion, but enlightenment, as they would have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It is very difficult to, you know, it's basically impossible to force someone to agree with you. And actually, this is something which speaks to a degree to our own times, of we are in a very binary world at the moment. Of people taking very fixed positions and shouting at each other from great distances. And I wonder whether there's an element of that.
But
coming.
That's to do with condemnation between say, racial violence and thinking that racial violence shouldn't happen. There's not much of a 50-50 point.
Oh, no, absolutely. But it filters down to other discourse as well. I mean, it becomes the dominant way of debating, is not to have debate, is to just shout at each other over, you know, much smaller and much more straightforward issues, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a thing. I think we'll give it a go.
We should.
Without the glosses, and we'll do a little recording and see what we get out of that. And it's got life to it. It's got a bit of character. It's not as much of, I can think of John Bonn as a play. I can think of Lucidus and Dubius as a play. I struggle to think of this as a play in the same way.
We'll get it on its feet and we'll see what happens. In some ways, it's not... when you've got an adversarial relationship between two characters, you can play that. This is about connection. So it's... a little bit more elusive, but I think it's rewarding. And I think we'll see when tune in next time, true believers.
Yes, absolutely. And more dialogues to come, hopefully further down the line. So
same bat time, same bat channel.
And all that remains, thank Liza and of obviously Milo for their contribution. excellent timing, Milo. All that remains, thank you very much, and goodbye.